On the third day, there was a marriage at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the marriage with his disciples. When the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now 6 stone jars were standing there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the steward of the feast." So they took it. When the steward of the feast tasted the water now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When I meet with couples and am preparing them for marriage, one of the things I do is I send them to a pre-Cana program. It's called pre-Cana. It's a program run by married couples, and basically it's a time when they gather with other young couples preparing for marriage to learn from married couples many of the realities of living marriage. We have in the Archdiocese of Boston an awesome program called Transformed in Love, which not only is very much based on people's experience of marriage, but it's rock solid founded on the teachings of the Catholic Church. An excellent program for young couples preparing for marriage. Well, it's called a pre-Cana program, but most of the couples I meet with really don't know why it's called pre-Cana. The answer to that question is found in today's gospel. Jesus works his first miracle that we know of in public at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. So pre-Cana is considered before marriage. This miracle of Jesus is often referred to as a mystery of light. It's the second luminous mystery of the Rosary, where Christ reveals something about himself. He reveals that he is a divine person, that he has the power of God within him. He can change water into wine. And what this miracle does is leads people to believe in Jesus, to follow him, to trust that he is the Son of God. The miracles of Jesus and also the miracles of the apostles that we hear about in the Acts of the Apostles is the chief force that inspired people to become Christians at the beginning of the church. It wasn't the threat of violence, or it wasn't any kind of external pressure put on people to become followers of Christ. They saw his miracles and they believed in him. They saw the miracles of the apostles. They heard the beauty and wisdom of the gospel of Jesus, and that led people to follow Jesus, to become his disciples. We should be well familiar with the miracles of Jesus and his apostles and remember them, because the miracles lead us to understand something about the Lord Jesus. You have to imagine that the apostles would remember these miracles of the Lord, and they would have to when they would go through all kinds of hardships in their own life, when they would face martyrdom. They'd have to remember miracles such as the one of him turning water into wine, or him walking on the water, or feeding the 5,000 people with multiplying the loaves and the fishes, and so on. So many miracles. They'd have to allow those miracles to remind them that even if they face hardship and suffering, the one they are following is the great King, the Lord of Lords, the Master of the Harvest, all-powerful, Jesus our Lord. Remembering these miracles is very important. And notice what happens in this gospel event, in this mystery of light. The presence of Jesus and Mary changes the situation, makes the situation more beautiful. It makes it better. Now, the couple would always remember that Jesus was there at their wedding, that his mother Mary was there, that he worked a powerful miracle there. Now, the miracle itself is not a major miracle in the sense of he's not raising the dead or really defeating some majestic power in nature. He's changing something small into something else that's small. He can do this because he's all-powerful. What we notice is that his presence, his blessing, his power changes an ordinary situation and makes it wonderful, makes it extraordinary. The lesson for us here is that the presence of Christ in our lives really does change us. Not only must we remember the miracles he worked in his time on this earth, but also the many little miracles that he works in our lives. These are signs of his lordship, his power, his sovereignty over our lives. They move us to believe in him more and to trust in him more and more. I remember years ago, I was in this very difficult situation in my life, and I felt everything around me was negative, that nothing was working, that everything was just a failure. And it seemed that the story of my life was just a negative story. It was very discouraging and almost despairing. And then I would pray. I decided to, well, I'm Catholic, I better live my Catholic faith, so I prayed more and more, even in the face of this difficult situations that I was in. And the prayer itself did not seem to solve the problems. But the more I prayed, the more in my mind I realized that there was another story unfolding in my life. It was a story of grace and truth. It was a story that God was writing and was making my life wonderful. And it was a positive story of the blessings of God in my life that were more powerful than the negative story going on at the time. I feel that in many of our lives, it's almost like we can live two different stories in our life. One story is a negative story. It's the story of sin. It's a story of human weakness, human malice. It's a story of discouragement. It's a negative story. It can be many negative stories. But there's another story that we must allow to be written in our soul, in our life. And that's the story that God is writing, the story that our Heavenly Father is writing. When I was on retreat recently, I was praying, and it came to me that I need to continually remember the blessings that God has put in my life. And when I remember the blessings that God has put in my life, I rejoice. I realize that the story of my life is wonderful, and it's not because of me, it's because of Him, the author of our salvation, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we are challenged to remember the blessings the Lord has worked in our life. That couple at Cana would remember for the rest of their lives that Jesus has something to do with their marriage, that he was there. He was really, really there. That the Son of God, the Savior, the eternal Lord above the heavens, was there. And he did something there that will be remembered for all eternity. And that is our lesson, to remember the good things that God has done in our lifetime and to live off of those things, to stay focused on those things. The second thing is, like this couple, we need to continually invite Jesus and his mother Mary into our lives. We need to allow him to be the author of our life story. The couple did not have to invite Jesus, the Lord, to their wedding. They could have said, we don't have enough room, we don't need any more people. We want to keep this wedding very simple and quiet and unknown. But they chose to invite him and his friends, and that changed everything. Well, for our lives, when we pray, when we receive the Eucharist, when we go to confession, when we read the scriptures, when we take time to simply think about our faith, our relationship to God, that's like we're inviting Jesus into the stories of our life. We could be going through some terrible, painful hardship right now. It's a story that's so negative and hard for us to deal with. And what we do is we pray. And when we pray, we are inviting Jesus to write his story into our lives. And the more we invite Jesus into our lives, you know, even if we've never invited him, if we've never trusted in him, and we're in all kinds of trouble now, we can still invite him because he's so merciful. When we do this, and when we do this again and again and again, we become aware clearly that he has a plan for our life, that our life story is in the hands of our Father who loves us. We come to see more clearly that he is making us new. He's gifting us with new holy friendships in our lives. He consoles us truly in the midst of our sorrows, and he gives us strength and courage to go on. He gives us hope, and we come to see more and more that he really is the Good Shepherd, our Good Shepherd. Dear brothers and sisters, when Jesus is invited into our lives, he makes things different. His grace changes our life story. It makes it so new and wonderful. May we have the wisdom to invite him often into our lives and allow him to work his power on our life story. No matter what's going on in our life right now, may we allow Jesus to be our Savior. In this way, he will show us that he really does know us, that he knows what's going on in your life right now, that he loves you, that he sees you, and he blesses you.